Yo, this is Jerry Wonder, music producer. You tune into Rebel Radio, because music connected to rebels. You feel me? Bob Marley, attack! Man, fuck you, Josh!
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine, and I got to tell you, this week's guest is so cool. I got the producer Jerry Wonder in the house. Well, he's in his house. I'm in mine. We're on the quarantine video chat and all that. But if you don't know Jerry, he's a producer for the Fugees. He produced their album, The Score, which sold like 18 million records, something crazy like that. He's produced for Santana, Shakira, Mary J. Blige, Busta Rhymes, Michael Jackson, Cannabis. The dude has range. He's got more awards than most of us can count. He's got an incredible philosophy and the way that he moves through life. He's definitely exemplifies the idea of giving back first, of building people up. And he's got some great stories. He's going to tell you how he got to where he is and where he's going next and what he's doing with it. I want you to check out his Share the Music initiative. He's doing important things with Music Cares and some other philanthropy partners. He's also has a new project out with Ross Baraka, the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. It's a spoken word project called What We Want that's tackling the social issues of our moment. Let's get into the interview with Jerry.
Set up,
you know. Yeah. So, what are you up to now?
What I'm doing, I'm working. I'm doing a couple of things with BMG beside a few artists. Cause my background, really, I came up from producing so many bigger artists, and now at this moment, I start creating something, songs, artists that really gonna need young artists. Being the governor for New York City for the Grammys,
sure,
it's really promoting music, you know, the integrity of music and finding young artists. And I do global. So I go to India, I go to Africa, I go to, you know, Jamaica, Germany, or Chicago. I'm in Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, LA. So I'm everywhere. So my main key program is this, the album I just did with Ross Baraka, you know, and it's an EP, but the first song that came out, What We Want, It's a song that's really blending right now, you know, and it's been a, you know, sold over 200 million records, you know, so with my work for Jimmy Iovine, Interscope, or, you know, Ellie Reed, from Carlos Santana to Maria to Hips Don't Lie, Shakira to the Fugees, sold all these albums, and the lifestyle. I'm a part of my life where I wanna. It's more like a legacy for me, you know what I'm saying to you. Where in a sense that what I'm leaving behind, you know, and leave every day, do something great, you know. And and I'm working with different artists for different labels, but some projects they're like in my heart, you know. And the Ross Baraka being something spoken words, because hip hop really is like a spoken words. It's just like, you know.
What we want. We want to love ourselves freely. Unfettered images of our grandmothers and our dreams. We want to praise our own God. And we want to see his reflection in our children's eyes. We want to draw him blue like jazz with long dreads and thick lips. We want music every day and especially on Sunday. We want dancing to be a prerequisite for success.
So when you're talking about the urban communities, which is why people like to write what they, every day they wake up, what is it, you know? They wake up and some of them say it on songs, writing lyrics and melody and songs. And some of us do the rap. And some of us, you know, actually do spoken words or graphic art, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, that's a great place to start us off, man. I appreciate you doing this with me. I'm a huge fan of your music. Obviously, you're best known for producing the Fugees album, The Score, which I think sold over 18 million records worldwide. But you've also worked with some of my other favorite artists, Santana, Mary J. Blige, Busta Rhymes, Lupe Fiasco. Of course, that Cannabis track, Second Round KO. It's good stuff, man. So I'm excited to talk to you.
Man, thank you.
So I want to dig into all this, but if you don't mind, take us back to the very beginning. Can you remember the first record you ever bought?
Oh, my God. My first record I ever bought, believe it or not, was a Bob Marley. Bob Marley album that I, you know, then I did. Because I grew up in Haiti, you know. And yeah. And as Wyclef and all, you know, Wyclef mom and my dad's are brothers and sisters. And when we grew up in a small town, the village town, you know, and we was known, our town was known for sugar, you know, that's where the sugar cane plant. And
okay.
And I remember going places with my mom on a donkey, 3 o'clock in the morning, miles and miles to go buy avocado and mango.
Oh,
where
wow.
she go ahead to the flea market. Like she'll go, we take one day to go buy, then come bring everything to the house. Like I'm talking about 4 hours, 5 hours in a donkey, come back.
Damn.
Okay, and she would go to the house, line up everything, and wake up in the next day at 3 o'clock again to go to the flea market because she doesn't get there early. She won't get a good spot. So she would get there, and I remember getting there, you know, around 5, 6 years old, going there with her. And what I learned around that time was you could buy something, you would sell it. And all of a sudden in my head, I know that you could do something where you could buy things and sell. So my whole thing, always in my head, in the back of my head. And when I was 12 years old, I started playing. Someone came to the house. One of my cousins came with a guitar. Mm. And I touched the guitar. I was like, oh, my God, that feels good. And everybody want to play the guitar. And my, one smart-ass kid said, you know what? Who's going to play the bass? I was like, what is a bass? I was like, what's wrong with you? The 4-string. I was like, Mom, I need a bass. And when I got that bass guitar, I wasn't that cool. You know, I'm wearing my shades now looking cool, but I wasn't that cool at all. So that bass would make me cool. And one day, and the bass player in the church, because we always go to church, you know, my mom was a Christian, you know, Christian to today. And the bass player didn't show up. And when that bass player didn't show up, and I was looking at the bass, because the church had the bass, you know, the church got the equipment. And nobody playing the bass and everybody's there. I was like, oh, my God, I want to go. My heart is like the first time you say hi to a girl. Mm. You're like, maybe I say yes or no. Mm-hmm. What about she doesn't like me? Oh, my God, my heart going like this. And one voice said, go play that bass. And the other voice said, don't. What about if you mess up, people going to laugh? I got to tell you, I listened to that voice. I said, just go ahead. You got nothing to lose. And when I pick up the bass, you know the thing about a bass guitar, when somebody play the bass, if you play the bass like this, see, but when you play the bass, you got to be called the face, the bass face. Mm. So I was making the bass face and I was feeling good. And thank God, the song they're singing, I know the song. When a musician know the song, you, oh my God, you can't, yo, they're crazy. And I'm like, I'm going like crazy. After church over, remind you, no one knows I know how to play.
Right.
Before. So now after I play, there was this girl I had a crush on. She called me by my name. She was like, I didn't know you know how to play. You play so good. Everyone was like, oh, my mom was so happy. Since that day, I say I'm a bass player.
Wow.
And I make myself a bass. I practice. I wasn't that great in school because most of my time was on a bass because it gave me a tool. And by the time I got to the U.S., you know, I went to Wyclef mom. That was my second mom. And he starts in New Jersey. And I started playing in the church. Then after that, I decided to go to school to be a recording engineer for to learn. Because I was like, being a bass player is good, but what else? And it always one person that triggered me and say, well, Jerry, there's Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. there's Quincy Jones. Which one are you going to be? I said, if I'm Quincy, I could work with a lot of people. I don't want, if I'm Michael Jackson, I can only work, be Michael Jackson. So I said, I want to be a producer. And you know what? I took from the bass. I went to school and I built. I remember my dad said, you guys take the basement. You and Wyclef and your brother, Linnell, take the basement, build. Why don't you guys put a studio? And we put a recording studio called the Booger Basement. And that's where the whole Killing Me Softly album, the score was done in my dad's basement, our house. We did it in the basement. And I had Bono there, Queen Latifah, Nutty Bonnage. Everyone came to that basement, which was the Motown at East Orange, New Jersey, and Newark. Mm-hmm. And Roz Baraka, when you listen to the album, that's when I met Roz. He came to the house. We put him. He wasn't the mayor. He was a writer. We put him. He's the one that talking, you know, before the song, you know, the interlude. Roz Baraka was in that album. Yes, that's how we met. And about 2 years ago, I started doing things for the community in Newark. And I said, next time, whenever you have time, come see me in my studio. Come have a glass of wine with me. You know what I'm saying? Just come chill with me. And he won the election the first time. The second time, he was like, Jerry, I'm gonna come to see, check you at the studio. I remember, first he came to the house, we met. Then I said, let's go to Platinum. He came to my studio. I just give him a microphone and I pick up my bass. And I said, what I'm going to do, I know you write. You still write. This is what you're going to do. I need lyrics. All the lyrics you got. And he showed me his lyrics. I said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do a soundtrack. I'm going to do a score. But I didn't want it to be like the top 40 record. I wanted the sonic. Like, if you listen to this song, and all the sounds are different. And we're not one style. Some of them is the blues. Some of them are Afro, like an Afro, like, that quick, the whole album is different. And I had him put him on a microphone and make him do, you know, all the parts. And I put, being a producer, I said, okay, this is how we're gonna do. And he couldn't believe how it came out. That was his first one.
Sure.
So for me, music, since that day, I listened to the Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm.
That Bob Marley, and then I know Lionel Richie. From Lionel Richie to Michael Jackson to James Brown to Marvin Gaye. And let me just tell you something. That was a Earth, Wind, and Fire, Verdeen. You know, yeah. And that's my work.
Oh man, what an amazing story! So I love how you take it from the church to the basement to making music for the whole world.
Yeah. Now I just wanted to give it to you, man, because they're all connected.
Yeah, no doubt. Which Bob Marley record was it?
No Woman, No Cry.
In a government yard in Brooklyn. Love that.
And don't worry about a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a you know, everything about Bob Marley, man. And as a bass player, you know, you always gotta listen to Bob Marley, you know what I'm saying to you?
For sure.
Yeah, and I got to learn love hip hop. And you know, when you say cannabis, oh my god. You know, the second round knockout, you know.
Yeah, I remember that record set off a beef with LL. I think everybody in hip-hop culture at the time was talking about it.
Yo, can I give you a little story about it?
Yeah, of course.
We was at Sony Studio doing a remix for Guns in November.
Mm-hmm.
Or Wyclef, I was doing the remix. And Cannabis said, you know, I need a beat, Jerry. You got to give me a beat. I said, you want a beat? Come to my house. At the time, I was living in Newark. And he came to the house and he said, Jerry, this is how what we're going to do. I got this sample on a cassette. Remember them cassette? He said, I was playing the cassette, and there's this crazy chant. I don't know what they said. They could say, kill people, forget the world. I have no idea. And if you listen to this record, you know, if you have a quick second, hold on. I got to give you that little journey quick. Yo, it was like, Jerry, if you could do this for me, that would be crazy, right? And I say, Cannabis, for me to do this for you, you have to come to my house and we have to come up and have an idea of what, you know, what I want to do to get it done for you. So, what? And we had something called an SP 1200 and an MPC 3000. Like, if you went, let me see if I could get this laptop going good. Oh, yeah, let's do this. Hold on 1 second. So now I just want to make sure I have that to pre-feel quick. I don't even got it, but I tell you. So when you listen to it, you're going to listen to it straight up in a different way. So he came up with the cassette. I took the cassette and he was playing, holy show. It was a crazy German army, but soldier. And I sampled it. And I just pick up my bass and I pick up the SP-1200, make the beat, and I play the bass inside my MPC. Yo, that record was the record. Then after we finished, we was like, yo, we need to put Mike Tyson on it. Yo, you know, now Mike Tyson, I was like, how do we get Mike Tyson now? White Club was like, Jerry, okay, this is what we're doing. Now let's find Mike Tyson. Then we find Mike was in Vegas. And we went to Vegas, and me and Cannabis, we actually record Mike Tyson vocals on something we call Dat Player. We record it, then we chop it up, and we put it in a song. Now listen, this is the first time you're really gonna listen to it, like in a different world right now.
Man, what's up, man? I caught you on that cut with Wycliffe, man. You were booming, but I caught these foul, slouch ass niggas, you know what I mean, talking foul about you the other night on the corner of the boulevard, man. I wasn't with that, but I ain't know you well enough to defend you though, right? But you seem like you got true game, but PK, man.
When he was talking, he going right, like this too.
You know, I wanna play a couple of times there, right? But they can't hurt us, man. We're gonna do it. Get up in this ring, man, put these gloves. Let me show you how to handle yourself, man. You don't got nobody out there with you. I have to show you, man. Get up in there, move that head, man. Come on to me, man. But when you come, man, you gotta come for gloves.
Mike was so funny.
Come on, bust that nigga hole, man. Nigga talking that shit about you. Mike Tyson here speaking with the cannabis man over here. Your cannabis, your main objective out here.
That's our base. Now listen to that voice, the background.
Hey, man, they been playing me all my life, man. You know, I won a title a couple of times, did right. They can't hurt us, man. We're gonna do it. Get up in this ring, man. Put these gloves and shit, man.
So I'ma let the world know too. You don't want me to shine and study my rhyme. Then you laser vocals after mine, that's a bitch move. Something in a homo rapper would do. So when you say that you platinum, you only dropping clues. I study your background. Read the book that you wrote, search your footnotes about how you used to sniff coke, crying like a drunk.
But you hear the voice in the back, it's a quiet. I just had to play it for you. When you said that, I was like, oh my God. Because that record, it reminded me a lot of hard time. Even it was great time, but it was a whole changing for me, you know? Yeah. Because it was the time that I was able to buy my mom a house.
Love that.
I was able to take care of my family. I'm a Leo, I'm a third child. So it's always how do I make people, you know, make everybody feel good.
Okay.
You know? I had a rough time coming up, you know, growing up, and it's always how do I make a difference? It's like the same way I came to Minnesota, you know, I've been going back and forth in Minnesota and just say, you know what, I want to do something to help musician, the light man, the producer, you know, the songwriter, the guy that played at the bar, you know, not in those no bars. And how do I go ahead and not team up with Music Care? I sold them the idea. I was like, can I go raise money? Can I do that for musician, for the light man? And those things make me feel good. And this is why I'm on the phone with you, because I only got on the phone because I'm a quasi because of some great stuff I'm doing in the world. You know what I'm saying? Because when you do everything you do in the world, sometimes, you know, I don't do things for money anymore. It's what that means. I've done, you know, I just saw They Sold Warner for $15 billion. And, you know, most of the songs you said, you see, you know, when you say Lupe Fiasco, I did for Warner. I did for Jimmy Iovine, you know, all these labels. And I just want to do certain things. Of course, we entrepreneur, you know, we still got to have business, but nothing better to do something. So it was always about how to make people feel good. Around that time, I used to make everyone feel good. And until today, I love it. It was really great, you know?
Man, I love that. First of all, shout out to Quasi. Thanks for bringing us together. Okay, let's talk about how you got to that point. So I know you and Wycliffe started out together. I first got hip to the Fugees on vocab. I remember vocab, seeing you at in Miami when Blended on Reality came out. I think it was Mix Show Power Summit or some kind of industry conference. Wycliffe came with the acoustic guitar and blew everybody's mind. And then, of course, you know, the score took it to a whole nother level. So, like you said, you made that record in your basement. When did you realize you guys had something special? Did you know it was going to blow up right from the beginning?
Well, that album, we realized that it was something that everyone said, you know, we wasn't in a big studio. we was just in a house. So it was people would just go to work, you know, go and come right back to the studio. And we go around, go to church, come right back to the studio, go to the after party, the underground reggae party, go right to the studio. So all these things were, I would go, at the time I was playing bass with a Spanish band, merengue band, salsa band. I was playing with an Afrobeat band. I was playing the wedding band, the bar band. So all the musically, I had everything. And you know, we were sampling, and you have Law and Hell. The thing, when you see The Matrix, I basically was the guy with the key, you know, the key man.
Yeah.
You know, that's all the key. And that was me. And, I invested my first $38,000 to just say, you know, my dad and my brother, we to build that studio. That studio, we know there was something great about that studio because we didn't care. But we did the album. But every time someone come to the studio, they would say, oh my God, this is unheard of. We are here, this one came to the studio before even the score, you know, before the album.
Oh man.
But the first time I heard Harmony Mics on Hot 97.
Yeah.
I was like, hold up, we got something. We got something. But Killing Me Softly was never the song that we thought that was going to be the pop. It was like, Lauren, you have to sing a song. We have to create a beat. We have to create a song like you singing. Now, how do we make it match the album? That's why we went and got Tribe Called Quest. We, you know, I wish I had my thing set up here, but you know, that's why we went and got Tribe Called Quest and we got all the sound. We said, okay, how do we make it the beat hard? And it's just me, the bass, and the drums. Basically, that's the old record.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So we did that. But when we went to Europe, while we were in Europe, they say Fugees went platinum. We say, what? We could. And that was it, man. That was it for us, man. There was no return.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. So, you know, for people who don't remember, now it's like nothing to have a singer on a rap record.
Yeah.
But in 1996, when The Score came out, that was kind of like taboo, yeah, right? People thought it was too soft or too commercial.
Yeah.
You had a few exceptions here and there, but rappers used to get shit for it.
Yeah.
Then Lauryn Hill came out with that voice, plus she could rap,
yeah,
and it changed everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that song, when it first came, when the album came out, everybody, at the time, people just go in and pick their favorite song. And you know what? That Killing Me Softly was never a single.
Mm-hmm.
It was a part, for you to get it, you had to buy the album. It's not now people go to iTunes, oh, I love this record right here, Out of My Head, Lupe Fiasco. I love that record, Jerry Wonder did with Trey song. Let me grab that. They had to buy the album, and that's why, you know, the album was selling, not just song, not just single. When we did Amanda, that song, that whole album, it was a journey. We didn't have no extra song. We basically said, this is the song, and that's it.
Crazy. So, like, The Score, you know, blows up. I'm sure it changes everything for you. Here you were just making music with your cousin.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, you guys are flying around the world, playing big shows and all of that. So how did that change things inside your mind?
Well, I came from like 14 brothers and sisters, and I'm a third child.
Mm.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what it was. I was just happy, and I was making people happy. And I spent probably slept in my bed maybe for 2 weeks for the whole year.
Okay.
For 1 year. Then I spent so much time in the studio, and that's when I did No, 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 Destiny Child. That was the time I was working it. And the Carnival album for Wycliffe actually was the album I worked on. That's supposed to be, was supposed to be Fuji's second album. But then that's when the separation law and the cover.
Yeah.
At the time, man, it was really, for me, just really working and just really enjoyed that. I felt like I had something people wanted.
Okay.
I felt special. It wasn't about no money. You know, I had the Ferraris, the Bentleys, and all that. But it wasn't even important because I had them just because I had the jewelry, the watch. I don't wear them no more. I no more jewelry. I'm not into that. But you had to wear the jewelry. You had to show people and go to the club, you know, go to the club with a block of MX and buy the whole club one night. Just say, you know, we all, that's 25 grand for the night. Everybody, let's get a bunch of bottle crystal and tape everybody. Magnum, you know. So I've done all that. But I tell you, man, it felt good. I was able to help my family and friends.
Right.
I think it was more important for me.
Yeah.
You know, because I came from a family. You know, we Haitian. We look out. The whole family. So I was in my whole family part. I was Wyclef and I, because Clef was, you know, me and Clef, we was this is where we were in the world with our family. So we had, make sure we take care of mom, pops. My dad gave us the house. And he died before we got the Grammys.
Right.
You know, he didn't get to see that. But Wyclef's dad got to see my uncle, my aunt, and my mom, my mother. We was able to buy everybody, give everybody a great life. You know what I'm saying to you? So, you know, that's how it was for me, man.
Sure. So what do you think you learned from Wyclef in your time working together?
Well, I tell you like this, Clef and I, we know we split about, I would say maybe about, I don't know, 8 years ago, or 6 when he was, you know, we actually split because I learned so much from him in a sense that, you know, how you work with a team, focus on a team, loyalty. You know, when I was with Clef, you couldn't get Jerry Wonder without Wyclef. You know what I'm saying to you? Like, yo, we a team, we the refugee camp. I got the refugee sound.
Right.
The Fugees sent for refugees. And when I work with my team, people would be like, okay, you want, you always say Wyclef and Jerry Wonder. Jerry Wonder and Wyclef. That's what we were, you know, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Clef and I, we really got connected. And I also learned, you know, how to work with people. Is that about you when you're working with a team? Is that about you? How do you make everybody feel good? Like this interview I'm doing with you, how do I make sure we're in communication? How we stay connected? So that's why I'm really listening to your question. You're really listening to me. Take notes. And we learn every day, you know? And how do we teach it? And how do we grow? And I learn how to keep a team together, you know? And I learned because without a team, it's not I. I didn't set up this thing. You see, I have, you know, Kwazi, Big Shot, and I had my assistant, Tenille. They all been working. Everyone been working. I learned the team. Being or running a business for so long, I learned how to keep a team. You know what I mean? That's the most important thing for me.
Yeah, I love that. So talk about your approach as a producer. I've heard you talk about the Sonics, and I know a lot of producers,
yes,
they just have their sound. If you work with them, that's kind of what you're buying. But you've worked with so many different artists. You mentioned Destiny's Child. I know you produced Hips Don't Lie for Shakira, which I guess is the biggest selling record of the century. So how do you adapt your sound to fit each artist?
Well, you know, like at the end of the day, I'm the type, you know, 1 minute you will see me like this going to the studio. Next minute, you're going to see me with a suit up, with a special suit, because I have a meeting. I have to go hang out with my friends that, you know, that edge fund people. Mm. Like, I got my friend at UBS. I got my friends at Bernstein. I got my friend, you know, I got my UN friends. And my studio, you see two sets of clothes. I look at music as like the style. You feel me? And
okay,
when I build the Platinum Sound, when I built Booger Basement, the studio where we did the Fugees in the basement of my dad's house, I had all the best studio. The only thing is, we was in an urban community. I'm trying to tell you, I could say we was in a ghetto. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's where it wasn't a hood. You know what I'm saying to you? That's where we were. But
right,
when you go in that basement, nobody knew. It was like, remember coming to America? Remember when you go to an apartment, what is it, 2A?
That's right.
When is it? But you see the crazy building when you open, when the super open, he's like, what the hell you got to do inside? I came, I was like, yo, like the apartment. So that studio Booger Basement was the best equipment. Everything we need right there. We didn't have to go to nobody, no place. That's why we sold over close to like 25 million records from the records we done in that basement.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, I move up. 2001, I move up and build my studio called Platinum Sound Brand on Times Square in Manhattan. And that's where Lady Gaga, everyone. So musically, I always said, okay, how do we move? What's the time changing, the sonic changes. I'm always buying new equipment, so the sound changing at the same time. I still got my Sonic for the score. I still got my sound for Le Carnival. I still got the Michael Jackson. I still got all them. Then I just finished Miguel. I did Miguel. Did Justin Bieber. I just did Chris Brown. I just did Migos. So I'm moving up, you know, moving up with the new sound. Because once you have the studio, because I live in my studio and you go out, go to the club, go on tour, do whatever. And my style of music, my last tour, I did it with Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, wow.
I did an album for Melissa Etheridge, and Melissa said, "Jerry, come on, Jerry, you gotta be my music director. You gotta come on tour with me." I said, "Okay." Then I called my guys because I have a band. You know, remember I said team. I create a band in the studio. Every artist that I work with, and we all create. It's not just Jerry Wonder, but I'm the Quincy. I'm the one that just, you know, that say you here, you. I pick up my bass guitar. You know, mm-hmm. I, like Melissa Etheridge. Just chord like this. This is, and I could just take that, and I said I'm gonna make a song out of it. Then I create my drum machine. I make the beat, and after that I say, okay, now I got the beat. Now let's make it a little nicer. My live drummer, can you come play a little tap on it? Now you got organically, you got the new drum machine sound, the new sound. Then you still have the live energy, and you know some of this kid, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, we could pick up an instrument and play with it. But and the 808, like right now, you all the kids say, "Oh yeah, I design a bass that play 808, a live bass." Mm. I play the live. So I'm always moving. I'm a technology. I'm a tech freak. I love equipment. How do we play with it? That's always been my motto. It's like look at the kind of camera I'm using right here, Zcam. You know, I got a whole Zcam set up, like ready content, everything. So I'm always moving, and I'm not cheap. I spend a lot of money in to get, you know, to the equipment, to the stuff. I'm on my studio, two SSLs, and you know, it's I'm up there.
Wow.
So that's why I move with the Sonic, like the clothes.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's amazing to have that kind of range. And I think very few producers can jump genres and styles like that. I'm guessing you have to just be really good at listening and adapting. Like in business, we call that being nimble. Yeah. Is that right? Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah. I mean, it's the key. And everybody you work with, you give them something that really match everyone. Like the record that go crucial for Cannabis is totally different. And I did You Smile for Justin Bieber. I did Justin Bieber when he was, you know, when first album Justin Bieber, I work on that, you know. And there's so many records I've done, people don't even know. And they, when they're talking, I'm talking to people, mm-hmm. I say, what's your favorite 10 records you love? And they start picking, sometimes I get more than a half of the song.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, and I say, and they don't even know I did the song.
Sure.
And I'm like, hey, you know, that's my song, right? You know, and it's like going crazy. I'm like, yes, you know, and it's really special. And that's why you put energy into everyone, different energy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's incredible. Do you ever get like writer's block? And what do you do if that happens?
Whenever I get blocked, we all get blocked sometimes. I just quit for a minute. Just say, let me go to the movies. And I go to the movies by myself and I watch two movies. I'm not supposed to say that. I pay for one and I go out there, get popcorn. And I look and I go to the next movie without paying. That's bad.
Yeah, we used to do that.
And we just go ahead and just, and I tell people, like, you can't find me. And I go clear my head,
mm-hmm.
or I go to India a lot, or I go to Senegal, and I go to Ghana, and I go to different places, and I find an artist, and I go check artists out, cause music, and I clear my head, and the minute I come back, now what I love, I live in Minnesota, I live in New Jersey, then my studio is in Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
Every Friday, I get on a plane, get to Newark. You know my favorite things? is when I miss the flight.
Hmm.
It's the craziest thing. I love sitting at the airport. Have you ever, if next time you fly, it's not going to happen anytime soon, but you know, if it happened, happened.
Right.
Just sit at in your gate and start looking at everybody walking around. If you get there earlier, your flight delayed. Think about what people are thinking. Some people, I see people crying. You can, nobody seen them crying. Mm-hmm. I see people so happy, so excited. I see somebody that just sad. And I see somebody in their eyes, you know, you're like, only if I could think. Only if I know what they were thinking. And I love looking at people's face, the expression of what they have in their face. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, man, it's like, I love the fact that I could travel everywhere, and that's why I clear my head. I get on a plane. When I travel, this is how I learn. This is how I get my block out, and when I get to the studio now, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, acknowledge, like, you went to sleep, and you got up, and you're still alive.
Man, that's such a great perspective. You know, I know you talk to so many musicians and DJs and they hate to travel. You know, everybody's trying to stay in their phones or their iPads or whatever and not look at what's going on around them. And people always talk about how, you know, travel wears them out or it feels isolating or whatever. So I love that you flipped the script on that. You use it for inspiration. I think that's so important to look for inspiration in everywhere we go.
Yeah.
So you talk about building your team, and it sounds like you work hard to make the people around you happy. What do you look for in the people that you collaborate with?
I look for people with integrity. I look for people that mean what they say and say what they mean. They're not easy to find, but I'm very quick to catch somebody after like maybe a week. If we talk almost every day, every other day, I got to start thinking about, because people sell you on things, and then later when you find out, that's not what they mean. And so the minute I find those people, there's nothing in the world. If we always, and I believe on team and band, and you know, a soccer team, a basketball team, a football team, you know, a band together, you know what I'm saying? Those are, it's team. We all got to work together to win.
Yeah.
So it's not one person, you know. It wouldn't be no Kobe if Kobe by himself, you know. There wouldn't be no Jordan. And they wouldn't have no Magic Johnson. Let's go to all the players, you know. There wouldn't be them, Pele, anybody. There wouldn't be those players if they were just by themselves in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying to you? So you and I know that, you know about sports. And you know what I'm saying to you? So my whole thing is that it's team. So I look for people that want to make a difference in the world. You know, because after a while, it's not about how much money, how big your pocket is. How big is your heart?
Man, that's incredible.
You know, and when I could catch that, and I said, whatever we could do together. Because one thing God blessed me from, like we said, from the guy that, you know, that was in a donkey go to the flea market, you know, with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I always believed that. How do I go ahead and take something like this and make it like this? So, and that's why everybody that knows me, they know where my heart is. That's why I'm doing the Wise Bowaka project is going out there. Share music you love. I got this show called Share Music You Love, where everyone, like, oh my God, I would have you. I really, you got to give me a drop too. Because I have a drop where people actually give me a drop where they share music. And sharing music, all the funds we're raising going to Music Care. And I'm still going to do Share Music You Love that's going to mental health. And I'm still going to do Share Music that's going for Children Hospital. I even want to do Share Music You Love that's going to save animals.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end, and also, how do we help? We still want to do how do school programs everywhere, because one thing we're missing, education globally.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because I always think global, because my music goes global, so I reach global. So, but I'm in Minnesota now, I'm already saying, okay, how I'm going to go with the team, right? Create a song like Prince, you know, like the only thing that you're going to hear is like somebody else, other people singing it. But when the song is playing, you're going to think this is straight up Prince supposed to come out and sing it.
Mm.
So you know it's the sound from here. Plus other thing I'm doing, you know, connected fashion, music, you know, sports together, film, you know, for me, that's what it is, in tech for me. How do we create education? Those are the things I'm about. Because, you know, I just want to sort of give somebody a fish and show you how to do it. And that's what I train producers, I songwriters. If the artist is doing something, how do I help the artist? That's what I'm about, man. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's more that for me.
Okay, I love that. I love it. Tell me how you do it. You said you can see pretty quickly whether somebody is right for you. So walk me through that a little. Like, if you're looking at an artist to work with or a producer you want to take on.
First of all, I'll watch them, see what they're good at and what they're not good at. And what they're not good at, I basically, you know, sometimes, the thing about producers, they're good in the bedroom.
Mm.
And now when they get out of the bedroom, there's another thing they have to learn.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, to tell an artist to sing a song, to make the music and tell them to sing that song and get a writer to do the song with them, that's more than just say, I'm a producer. You have to know about the infrastructure of a song creating. And after you learn how to create the song, you know, how do you tell the artist to sing the part? How do you coach the artist to sing the song? Okay? And how do you go at when the song is done and to just say, okay, enough.
Right.
Slow down now, because what happened when you're doing music, you could always keep adding. Next thing you know, you have so many parts and you don't know what to do. You're confused because a song not supposed, your ears could only listen to three sound at a time.
Mm.
You go three sound, then you go to another three. So why put in so much sound? And give them discipline and tell them about the business. And they actually, I make them be a fly in the room if I was working with a major artist so they could see how I deal with the artist. Because one day they're going to be sitting on my seat.
Right.
With a major artist too. So I teach people, you know, their business, their everything, you know. Don't take your money. There's something called taxes, how you deal with your taxes. There's, you know, when you get the money, don't just go out there and say, let me buy a Ferrari, let me buy jewelry, let me take my friends out,
mm-hmm.
let me do that. You know, that's all that. And next thing you know, you didn't pay that 38% taxes you're supposed, because you got no way to play with it, like real estate, you know. So it's a lot more to teach, and that's what I do. I mentor a lot of people. And you don't have to sign with me. I just help you, some of them. And if I like you, you could sign to Wonder Music, be on the TV, but you don't have to. But I still do what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So let's talk about the project you did with Ross Baraka, What We Want. I checked out the video. I love it. I love what he's saying.
Yeah.
I read one thing that he had to say was, we need more than justice in the moment. We need an overhaul of our systems. So tell me about that. How you got into the project and what you're hoping to accomplish it. How do you see that kind of overhaul happening in this moment?
Well, I tell you, first of all, I'm going to look like I work with a man with integrity. I work with a man that's really connected to his community, and that's Roz. And I could tell you so many situations where I see him just pick. Some people do things because it's good for them. And some politician. And I don't look at him out of, he's a politician, but at the same time, he's a man with a great heart. You know what I'm saying to you? That really want to do right. He's the only one that actually mayor that I seen that went and walk and a march in Newark, still there with the people. Nothing, I mean, the most peaceful in Newark, New Jersey. And, you know, he came into the backslash where they say water and it had some stuff, bad water in Jersey. But it was old Jersey. It wasn't just in Newark. It was everywhere, a lot of places. But this, I see what this guy, there was shortage of water. When he fought for education in Newark, where they trying to take it all. You know, I went to Essex County College in Newark. You know, I grew up in Newark, you know. So I see the change that this man doing. That's why I'm really proud of it. And what this song, when I'm going to look back and say, oh, my God, we did an album. We did this album. We called these songs before we knew what was going on right now. But it was due. It was something that we start the highway, start building up the highway. And now it's just like, oh, my, everything falling a great place right now. Everything is on the right. Like, the songs are working perfect. Everything was like we felt this was going to happen. And it was, even if it wasn't now, it was going to happen anyway because people are tired. People are tired of bullshit. You know what I'm saying to you? And I just say, you know, I could say I was talking to someone and, you know, my guy from Tesla just sent a space, some, you know, spaceship out of space. And I was like, anybody that don't feel like you belong in this planet as equal people, like we all, you should jump in one of them. Let's send them out of space. Let's send them. Like, go ahead, man. We don't need you here. Go, my friend. Go have fun, my friend. We good. We good in the hood, bro. I mean, we good here. You don't belong here, man. Just go.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Get
them out of here. So I think it's time, and everyone, you know, right now it's not even, you know, you've seen how many friends that I have that sometimes I had a little doubt that inside of them, they got a little prejudice on them. Yo, when I'm looking at them, they're the one that doing them. Some people that doing the march that right in the front. You know, I'm in Minnesota right now for the past 3 months. I'm looking at how many people that's crying, how many people that's dead. But, you know, there's the bad ones. You know what I'm saying to you? I'm not even lying to you. I seen that. You know what I'm saying to you? But I'm telling you, the world is so much better than how it used to be. And we want to let people, the old days don't work. It's not coming back. Too bad. You better blend in or blend out.
I love that. I love that, man. That's right. I'm with you 100%. So I know you got so many things happening. How should everyone follow what you're doing?
Yeah, man. Right now, I got to tell you, the country is that people are mixing, you know what I'm saying to you? People not ashamed to hold hands, you know? Like you know, I do have mixed kids, so you know what I'm saying? So my kids are mixed. I got Indian kids, I got white kids, I got black kids, you know? All my kids are mixed. So for me, I don't see color with no one. I don't believe on that. And who I love, who I feel connected to, that's who you are. And that's what I have in my head, whatever God bring. Because, you know, sometimes you might start up something with someone and, you know, we decide to go different ways. That don't mean that it's over. Then you go for somebody else that you connected to. And it's all about connection. Who you feel good. Because at the end of the day, remember, you don't want to have your family. You don't want that goes in bed and you lay down and you in a house, whoever in that house with you, you pick to be. And it's nobody's business. Somebody don't like it, you know, you'll get out of here because we happy.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying to you? So at the end of the day, man, it's like it's a whole new world. And this is not going to be over 100%, but our goal is how do we get it at 99.9%? I'm just saying, that's our goal. That's what we shouldn't.
Yeah, man, I'm with you all the way. So how should everybody follow what you're doing?
Well, man, you just go to Prince Wonder, Prince Wonder, everything Prince Wonder, you know, W-O-N-D-A, I'm on Instagram. You type Jerry Wonder, you find me too. I'm on Facebook, you know, at Wonder Music, Prince Wonder, or Jerry Wonder, all of them coming, but it Wonder W-O-N-D-A. Share music you love. Please donate anything you can go to Music Care. I don't care. You donate $1. Now you donate $5 million. All going 100%. And anything you do, man, keep your head up. And let me just something. Go out and vote.
Yeah, for sure. All right. You heard the man. Everybody listening, go ahead and donate $5 million.
Yes,
sir. Okay, before I let you go, I got to do a quick lightning round. What's your favorite city to travel to?
New Orleans.
Nice. Love it there.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite DJ?
My God. DJ Red Alert.
Yeah, man. Red Alert's a legend. What's the last great book you read?
Oh, my God. The last book I read, it's a Quincy Jones.
Okay.
And an Ellie Reed book, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Those are the two I went back and forth.
Okay. What movie do you think you've watched the most in your life?
That's a tricky one. Why you do that? Can I be honest with you? I really love Hotel Rwanda.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie because I've seen it a lot, you know, the situation I've been, and it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
You know, not because I did a song, I got a Golden Globe nomination on it, but that movie till today, I'm still watching. Yeah.
For sure. Okay, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
See people live with love. Love, if we could love each other, because money comes when we love each other, we smile. when we love each other, we happy, we appreciate each other.
Yeah, that's dope.
Love and music for me. Mm-hmm. Education.
That's great, man. Last one. If I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
Great job.
Nice.
Because, you know, even people are supposed to be messed up. But when somebody hear the word great job, they actually want to go back and keep hearing that word. And I love telling people, and by the way, people that work for me knows, I'm the first one to say, oh my, and loud, and I tell everybody, oh my God, you did great. But when you messed up, I would definitely tell you messed up.
Sure.
And not everybody could take it.
Yeah, that's right. Man, this has been so great. Yes. I appreciate you and everything you're doing. I love to keep in touch. We definitely have to have you back on the show next time you're in LA. Thank you, dude. Hey, that was Jerry Wonder on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. I'm feeling uplifted after that talk. Let us know how you're feeling. Hit us up with a comment on Twitter, Facebook, or wherever you like. It's at Rebel Radio Net. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.